Lake Effect Project Milwaukee series continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke. The perceived skills gap has been everywhere, it seems. The state of Wisconsin set out to study it and find solutions for connecting unemployed workers with existing jobs. The Urban Economic Development Association will convene its annual summit to discuss it next week. And newspapers and magazines have devoted hundreds of column inches to exploring why this supposed gap has opened up. One recent comprehensive look was undertaken by the biweekly newspaper Biz Times Milwaukee, which ran a cover story on the gap in a recent issue. Molly Newman wrote the article and the sidebar accompanying it, and she's with us to talk about what she learned. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
One of the points you make in this story is that some of the effort that some would like to see to close the skills gap is going to take a long time, involve big educational and societal change. So I gather one of the keys to your story was looking for people and organizations that are trying to make a much faster difference. Is that right?
Right. It's kind of the gap between when these educational and societal changes might take effect. There's a lot of long-term programs that are currently being slowly put into place. But manufacturers who are currently making things need employees right now. So they're kind of using stopgap measures like on-site training programs to try to fill the gap.
Well, and do you get a sense that they look at these merely as stopgap measures, that they would like to see some of these bigger changes take place?
Right. I think pretty much every manufacturing company owner I spoke with thought there was a much bigger problem happening in terms of parents really not wanting their children to go into manufacturing and pushing them towards four-year colleges when maybe that's not always the best path for someone. And so a lot of manufacturers are trying to make it known that you can make a good living in manufacturing. There's some pretty well-paying jobs, and it could be the right path for a career.
Was anybody talking about blame in this equation, or are they really talking about solutions or some of both?
I don't know if anyone was directly blaming, but it did sound like a lot of the responsibility was being put on educators and particularly technical schools to catch up with what kind of skills manufacturers are looking for. And a lot of them are making efforts to change their coursework. For example, there's a couple of technical colleges in the area that are implementing CNC machining boot camps, like sped up courses so that they're able to get the skilled workers out there faster.
You spent a lot of time, I gather, in your reporting with a company called Monarch. What was significant about that company? What made it a good case study for this story?
Monarch was interesting because they were taking a few different approaches to trying to solve their problem with getting new employees. They have a welder training program, and they were also working with an organization called Second Chance Partners for Education, which targets at-risk high school juniors and seniors to get them into a manufacturing facility for part of their day, and then they take classes related to manufacturing the rest of the day, like math and science.
And we should Monarch is a manufacturer that does what?
They make large parts used in mining equipment, like the buckets for a mining.
The big shovels, for example.
Right,
yeah,
the shovels.
So to get back to what you were saying, this is they're taking on a number of issues, and I gather one of the issues that they have is that they have a lot of people that are currently qualified, but they're getting old.
Right.
Older.
They have a lot of really experienced welders and machinists who are retiring, and their president, David Mitchell, realized he didn't want to lose their expertise, and so before they leave, he wants to be able to train new employees with the experience that they have.
So this is a company that actually is looking at doing some on-the-job training kinds of programs.
Right. So they've been working to kind of get welding trainees into a program where before they even go onto the floor, they have some experience with welding or they can do a little bit of training before they get into production.
Did you find, as you looked around at other manufacturers, is this kind of, is it typical, the length that Monarch is going to, or is Monarch really significant because it's doing so much?
They had some of the most solidified training programs we came across, which is why we decided to feature them. They just seem to be trying to take five or six different approaches to get new employees in the door. They want high schoolers to come in and tour the facility. They want to make sure that they're training juniors and seniors who might get into manufacturing, and it might not even be with their company, but they felt like it was something they needed to do for their industry.
You also write that, I don't think this was the case at Monarch, but there was another company that was putting returning veterans to work in filling the skills gap. Why were veterans such a good fit for at least some companies?
Dictyn Mash Plastics in Neshota was interested in filling the skills gap with veterans because there's so many who are returning from Iraq and Afghanistan and who have a very good work ethic and often are mechanically inclined, but who might not have all of the training they need yet, but they can be brought up to speed pretty easily.
These are people with, I think you describe it and others describe it as soft skills.
Right, and soft skills are often a major problem for manufacturers. When you're trying to get an employee who has those hard skills like machining and welding, but then they also need the soft skills like getting to work on time and being a good team player, that sometimes it's hard to find in a candidate.
You wrote about the Sullivan Report. This is the 126-page report the former Bucyrus CEO compiled for the state government about closing the gap. We kind of alluded to this earlier. That report really takes a much longer-term look at the skills gap, right?
Those are long-term societal and legislative changes that Mr. Sullivan is suggesting take place, involving everything from taxes to the educational structure. It's going to take a while to implement them.
So thus, the short-term kinds of solutions that we've been talking about here. Did you sense that even with those kind of societal changes, is there some level of training that a lot of these companies might be willing to do if they get the workers with the soft skills that they want?
I think a big part of it is finding the funding to do training when they haven't had to do it in the past. So I think employers a lot of times are kind of making partnerships with workforce development boards or educational facilities to get the funding to do this training just to bring people up to entry level. So it's definitely a much different picture than they had been dealing with maybe 10 years ago.
Are there other takeaways from these couple of stories that you did that stick with you about where things are in terms of closing the skills gap here?
I think a big part of it was really, and a lot of companies are trying to do this, getting high school students in the door at manufacturing companies just so they even know what happens in a manufacturing facility. I think a lot of it is pretty secretive, not purposely secretive, but it's no one really knows what goes on there and what kind of work is done. And I think a lot of high schoolers might identify more with that than with a four-year degree.
This is the rub that we've heard from some people that manufacturing has this reputation of being dirty, dumb, and dangerous, and
right.
the reality might be a little different. I mean, did you get a chance to see some of these manufacturing floors?
I did visit Monarch, and I write about manufacturing all the time, so I have visited quite a few facilities that are more high-tech, modern manufacturing companies. For example, SPX in Waukesha, they are a very high-tech company, and they have a really clean environment. And I don't think people would realize how different some manufacturing processes can be, from everything from food to batteries that Johnson Controls. I mean, there's just so many different things that are made in Milwaukee.
Not that you can obviously speak for all the employees at these companies, but do you get a sense as you cover these stories, seeing the people that are actually doing the work, are they pretty satisfied where they're at?
I spoke to a few different employees who couldn't imagine doing a desk job, and they seem like they're satisfied with manufacturing, and that's kind of the job they want to do because they're more of a hands-on type.
Molly Newman, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Molly Newman is a reporter with BizTimes Milwaukee. Her cover stories on the skills gap in southeastern Wisconsin ran in the magazine's October 15th issue. There is a link from wuwm.com/likeeffect. There are lots of unemployed workers in this country and lots of vacant jobs going unfilled, but is it really a skills gap or is there something else going on? We'll talk about an alternate read on the data when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.